Em nome da Father, do Son, do Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Hi, how are you? Good? So, tonight we want to discuss summary, just a very brief summary about the church schism. What's the schism mean? Separation, division. Okay. That's my daughter. My daughter's friends. They are texting me for some reason. Not disturbed? I want to know. Okay. So, why do you think it's important? Is any importance of discussing some issues in the church or what's happening in the church? What do you think? Is it important or no? That's a question. Sorry? It's important. Why? Yeah, it's if you answer, you have to give some reasons.
You need to know the history of the church.
So we need to know the history of the church. Okay, why? I'm waiting, I'm not going anywhere. So why? Help me. Tamir has an answer. Why it's important to know the history of the church? It's still relevant today. It's okay. That's good. It's still relevant today. That's a good answer. So that's right. It's still relevant today. It gives us also an idea about, because it's happening again and again. We need to know what's our faith. We need to know. Especially, as you said, it gives us a key for all the teaching, how to read the scripture, how the church fathers know our faith, how did we get the faith? It's very important, right? But first of all, we need to agree on something, okay? So we'll put some foundations together, and some of them will be debatable, but we will not move forward until we agree, okay? Deal? So, number one, as the church, the Coptic Orthodox Church, we rely more on the scripture or the tradition, capital T tradition. I know, Tamir, you know the answer, so we just discussed that 2 days ago. So, thank you, Tamir. Nice try. So, which one has more... I don't want to say. Which one has authority to the other? The scripture or the tradition? Tradition or scripture? The Bible or the tradition?
Scripture.
Okay. I got one vote for scripture. Anyone else say scripture? Beher. Okay. What's your name?
Yara.
Scripture. Anyone else for scripture? So the rest is tradition? Originally scripture, so that's a good point. So that will lead us to another question. Which came first, the tradition or the scripture? Tradition came before scripture?
What do you mean by scripture?
The Bible.
The Bible as it is today?
Yeah.
The Bible as it is today? Yeah. No, because the Bible was composed later, it was brought together later.
So the church, the tradition came before the Bible. Okay, that will get back to the original question. So, since the tradition, the church came first, who we rely on more, the Bible or the tradition? It's tricky. Think about it. That's very important because if we understand this point, we will move faster in discussion today. Tradition was first, right? So as a church, we rely on scripture or tradition? And why? I got lots of scripture.
Can't we say that tradition like relies on scripture? So that like
So tradition relies on scripture for sure. Like, yeah, we can say that. Like, okay. We're not say which is important. Both are important. But, like, okay. Okay, good point. Good point.
I think we follow tradition more, but the thing is, there is a lot of things in tradition that have just become really old, things that we don't really need to do anymore, and in that way we focus more.
Can you get back to the last part? What happened to the tradition?
Like some things that just don't need to be done anymore. Like, in a way, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, I will get like one step back. The tradition was a capital T. Do you know the tradition was a capital T? Okay, so that's very important before, okay, that's even before the first question. So we have tradition was capital T and tradition was small t. The tradition was small t is like, you know, in the wedding, we zagruta, or, you know, some flowers, or okay? That's our tradition, which is different than another tradition in the wedding, or whatever, anything in our life. So it's more culture, right? So that's a changeable. We can change that. Tomorrow we can have wedding without zagruta. That will not change anything from our faith, right? It will change, I know. But I mean, that's a small T tradition. However, capital T tradition is our faith, which have been delivered once from our Lord Jesus Christ to the disciples. And then, since then, the disciples give the disciples, and the disciples give the other disciples, until it came to us. No change. We cannot change anything in our faith. Right? Can we? No. We can't change anything. So that's a capital T tradition. Okay? Now it makes sense? Okay, I'm sorry. My fault.
But wouldn't you put the important parts of tradition into scripture?
They're the same thing.
like if St. Paul, whoever, like, made this tradition, then they put it into their letters and it became scripture. Yes. So
that's good. We're getting there. So what?
In Leviticus as well, wasn't that like an instruction book in the Old Testament? Like, even like pre the coming of Christ, they wrote down tradition in scripture.
Okay. So in the Old Testament, there were some tradition, right? In the Old Testament, however, some of it put in the scripture. So we considered it the holy scripture, but a lot of it not. So we just considered tradition. But this is not the tradition of capital T, it's the faith coming from Christ to us. Okay.
Yeah. Based on what Beher said, aren't they essentially them? They're both just as important.
Both are important. They're not the same thing, but both are important. We cannot say, actually, we will get to know it's more than that. I will get to that.
No, I know, but you just like in my mouth. So isn't the scripture that we have, so it's not like when we say or read in the gospel on Vespers or Sunday liturgy, we say the gospel as it is written by St. Matthew or as it is written by St. Mark. So we didn't add to what St. Mark or St. Matthew or any of the disciples, apostles wrote. But it doesn't mean that it's all-encompassing, because that's what the church fathers compiled together centuries later. So we can't limit ourselves to what's been given in that scripture, because it could, like, example, like at the end of, I don't know which epistle it says, or Saint, the Gospel of St. John, it's written like, if everything was written, like, we can't contain it in a book. So the teachings of the fathers complement what's in the scripture, and that was passed down. That's how originally it was done. It was passed down.
Perfect. That's a good point. So, another question. Who told us, who informed us that the scripture are scriptures? Who told us that? Who informed, who gave us this information? Who said this is the scripture and this is not scripture? Who? I thought that the question was like, who? The fathers, the church fathers. Good. If the church fathers, and what happened, it happened, right? They said, this gospel is not holy, is not scripture, and this is, so my point is, getting the point, okay, so we'll move forward. We rely on the tradition because the scripture, the Bible, is part of tradition. So we're not saying, I do not rely on the Bible. I can't say that, right? But what's happening is the Bible is a part of tradition. The big T tradition is the Bible, the church fathers. Then the church fathers, we can divide them. And the church fathers who came after the apostles, we name them the apostolic fathers. And then after the apostolic fathers, the apologetic fathers, and then all the church fathers who came the golden age in the 4th century. So all of the church fathers, they deliver the faith has been delivered by Christ to the apostles once, without any change, right? So what we rely on our faith, which is very important and very critical to understand that, we rely on the church fathers, of course, the gospel, the Bible, the church fathers, the liturgy. This is our sources of faith, right? The liturgy, it's very like, If you attend the Theotokias, you will find all our faith, all our dogma, has been preserved. So now we agree on this point, or if someone has any question, because that's important, and that's how that's where the heresies came from. It's someone say, okay, I rely only on the scripture, okay. So if we rely only in the scripture, and you get one verse in the scripture, say, my father is greater than me, and you take this verse, and you did not get back to the church fathers to explain why or how they understood it, you will say, the father is greater than the son. Right? Okay, we agree on this? Should we move forward? Okay, please. How do you know the church fathers are right? Very important questions. The name, the title of a church fathers, it's not any father named the church father. That's number one. Number two, so let's say the apostles who like ended by St. John, the last one, it happened to come, St. John has disciples, and all the church, all the apostles, they have disciples. That was called the eyewitness disciples, right? These are the first church fathers. That's why we call them the apostolic fathers. The eyewitness, them writing the Bible and doing miracles and establish the church. So that's why when we have any confusion about the verse, we will get to some, let's say, I wrote a book, right? So I, let's say I said in the book, yesterday was not a very nice day. Let's say anything like that. And you can interpret, like you can say anything about, you can explain it like, oh, he has a bad mood, or he has a problem at work, or you can put a lot of reasons, right? So to be sure what's happening, you can see someone saw me writing and saw the event and ask him, so what happened to him? He was like, yeah, he just he had someone in to work, you know, it was just... So this is the eyewitness. And this eyewitness, he will confirm what's going on. So there is no confusion anymore. But if I take a verse and try to understand it by myself, and someone else try to understand it by himself, it will be like the dogma will be from here and there, and what happened in the history. We will see that. So the church fathers started with the apostolic father, the whole eyewitness, the apostles, and then it came after that the church father, they have another disciples to tell them, this is the faith. This is what we eyewitness. So that, and the title of church father, we will have the criteria to be a church fathers. It's very like, it, like it's very, very specific and has a lot of criteria. So that's why we know that church fathers are right. Second thing is, as we said, the church fathers, who are the people who said this is the gospel. So they are the ones who lived the gospel in their life. They memorized it, they lived it, and everything was okay. And then when it happened to collect the Bible, they told us, this is the Bible. So now, this is the Bible. Just, you can use this Bible. This authenticated Bible. So if they are these people who we got the knowledge of the Bible from them, so of course we have to believe them. It's, okay, makes sense? So this is very important. I took like time to explain it more, so it will be easier then to go and see what the heresies are. Any question in this point? All good? Okay. So till here, till the Council of Ephesus, we were one church. Okay? For 400 years, 450 years, the church was one church. There was no Orthodox and Catholic and Protestant, and there was one church, right? That's very important. So that's why if we want to know the faith, our faith, we have to turn to this area, okay? Of course, the church started in the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, and then the first problem happened in the year 50. Let's say the simple number, right? The year 50, what was the problem in the year 50? Anyone? There was an issue in the church, big issue, during the apostles.
Gentiles and circumcision.
Gentiles, yeah, exactly. So what happened, like people... he said it first. He said it first somewhere. Anyway. So what happened is like there was... that's a family issue again. So the church started in Jerusalem, and then Gentiles start to be Christians even faster than Jews. So a lot of Gentiles came to the church, and then the Jews is like, you know what? That's not fair. We left the like Judaism for all this long, and these people just came to be Christian. No, they have to be Jewish first. And then the apostles came together in Jerusalem in the year 50, and they said, no, there is no reason for that, and they solved the problem. And that was the first council in the, if you can read about it in Acts 15. You do understand it? You don't? Oh, you're laughing something. So, they said that if you want to be Christian, you have to enter to be Jewish first. How? What's the main thing? What? Circumcision. So you have to be circumcised first. And then, after that, you will be Christian. As if Christianity is a part of Judaism, which is, if it happened that way, that would be destroying the Christianity.
I thought you can only be Jewish by birth. Like your mom has to be Jewish.
You have to be, like the all men, they have to be circumcised first. In the eighth day, that's the law. And the God told Abraham, you have to be any boy has to be circumcised on the eighth day. and then to be, that's the, and then, of course, the problem is, all the, let's also, the, okay, let's talk about that. Any issue has, like, has been raised at that time or any time, and there is a council for, it affected our salvation. It's not because someone saying something I don't like. No, it all affected my salvation. If you read about the Judaism in Acts 15, it will say that to be saved for own salvation, you have to be circumcised. And that's not, that will be like erased all what Christ had done on the cross, right? So the apostles came in Jerusalem in the year 50 and said, no, you can't do that. And then a big one,
some disciples thinking this way and some disciples thinking that way? Or where does it come? Like, where is the
people wanted this? Yeah, some Jewish people.
But why did the Jewish, I thought the Jewish people, like, I thought it was led by the disciples and apostles, not led by the people, like the early church decisions like that.
Yes, that's right. But that happened because all the Jewish, some Jewish people, they felt like, you know, a lot of Gentiles, the problem for Jewish and Gentiles, it was, we need to understand the background of it. Like the Jewish, they saw, like they were seeing that Gentiles are like, you know, not human, and they called them dogs, like they're dogs, like they're not human. They don't deserve to live. They felt like, you know, Gentiles, they are like, we are the people of God, and they are like nothing. And if I touch, like Jewish people touch Gentile, he will wash himself for like hours to be clean again. It was a big issue. So coming after that, and the Christ say like we all one, it was like, oh, some people are like, no, we're not one. They have to be Jewish first. So it was a big dilemma. And then the apostles came together and say no, and there is no need of that.
St. Paul and some disciples, and then they came to the conclusion at the end that yes, like, you know, the Gentiles don't need to go through this Judaism motion to become Christians.
Yeah, you're right. Like St. Peter, for example, he, like, again, the disciples were also all Jewish. So some of them, they struggled a little bit, and then the conclusion was like, there is no need for that.
Like, if you're a Christian, you were baptized. If you're baptized, you needed someone to baptize you. For you to have someone to baptize you, it was usually the disciples and apostles who baptized. So if the decision to baptize someone to become Christian was done by, like, the apostles and disciples, then that means there were conflicting thoughts within the apostles and disciples themselves. Right? Like, it has to be. Otherwise, like, who makes the decisions of, like, how you should be Christian or not? Unless Christianity wasn't dictated by you being baptized, it was just Christianity was dictated by the fact that you're following the message of Christ, and then that's separated.
Of course. Since like Christ, just Christ told them, go and baptize everyone. So that was, the baptism was very. So what happened is like when St. Paul went to Antioch and all the trips, he started to put his hand on some like disciples, his disciples. And then they also put hand on the other disciples, so they can baptize. The only it was an issue. It wasn't like from the, like, if you start, if you read about it in the book of Acts, it started with some people. It's not like decision maker. It's like there are people trying to make a problem about St. Paul first and about the Christianity. So it wasn't like among. I'm not sure if this is. It's your question, or I'm answering another question. I will talk about it later. Okay, John. Thank you. So let's start in the golden age of the church. And one major heresy. This is we will go through this today. Hopefully, I don't think if I have time, but we'll go from that. But the first problem. It's a big issue. There was a lot of heresies before Arius, okay? But it was small. And because of the persecution of the church was like in the surviving mood, right? There was like a great persecution, and you're like in the surviving mood. And then after the persecution, then they start to they start to establish the faith, and they start to talk about the faith more. And until the Arius was, do you know who's Arius? Anyone has any idea who's Arius, first of all? He was a priest, okay? He is Libyan, but he is a priest in Egypt. And at this time, to just have some background, after persecution, a lot of people had been martyred. A lot of people like confessed the faith, but some people they couldn't. So it's like, you know, we will deny the faith. They denied the faith, and then after the persecution, then they said like, you know, we're sorry, we want to get back to the church, right? So they said the church was like, welcome them, no problem. But some bishop, one of the bishops he's called Bishop Miletus, was an Asiut in Upper Egypt. He said no. That's not acceptable, and he established his own church in Asiut, and it was like a big issue between the Pope, and then he adopted also Arius, and at that time Arius has been condemned in Alexandria, and he left Alexandria. He was Palestine, and he left Palestine, and he moved to Antioch, and he started to preach more about the heresy. So what the heresy of Arius? It's called Arianism. So the problem of Arius is, again, that's, if you remember the question about the tradition and the scripture. So he read some of the verses, and he said, like, you know what? The Son is not equal to the Father. The Son is not equal. So he denied the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the problem? Why the church put in fire for that? Any idea? What's the problem? What's the problem of the Son equal to the Father or no? Why the church, like all the church, gathered together and defeated the heresy of Arius? So what that will affect us? How it will affect us?
Because without it, we wouldn't have salvation.
How?
Because if Christ wasn't, what was it? Like, he wasn't God?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he wasn't God, then he wouldn't be blameless, and then he couldn't die for our sins.
That's good. So that will affect my salvation and your salvation, because if the Son is not God, he said that there was time, the Son was not there, and the Father created the Son from nothing. Right? He is like before all ages and everything, and he's begotten, but he was confused between begotten and created. So it's very tricky. If you read like some of the letters of Arius to the bishop Eusebius, the bishop of Nicodemus, or the Pope Alexander, you will find it's a bit deceiving. He's trying to deceive. He was very clever guy. He was like, he's amazing in preaching, and when he talk, he's like really good. He's very convincing. And then he started to put his dogma or doctrine in songs. And that's very important to know, because sometimes when the church say, you know what, we don't accept the songs very much, it's like, oh, why? Why you're so, like, you can't do that. It's just a song. No. If the song has different dogma, different than church, that's dangerous, right? Because the songs, even in the church, a source of our teaching, of our faith, coming from the liturgy and coming from the songs, coming from the hymns, right? So, anyway, so he said that the Son has been begotten from the Father. However, there was some time the Son was not there, right? But he said, like, I'm talking about the Son. The only thing is, if he's talking about the Son, he was not there, that means what? The Father, there is a certain time that the Father was not the Father, right? Make sense? What makes the Father the Father? Because there is a Son. So if you're telling me there was a time that the Son was not there, that means there is a time that the Father was not called the Father. Make sense or no? Right? What makes Samir a father? Because Baher is there, right? Before Baher was or Basim, sorry. Basim. Before Basim came, Samir, you cannot say, I'm the father. I'm a father of anyone, right? Right? So that's what he is saying. They were saying that the Father created the Son out of nothing. And again, if he created the Son out of nothing, he cannot save me. Right? Because he's not God. Okay? So the Arianism denied, the Arians denied the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And who defeated that? Who? Who is the Pope of that time? No. Athanasius was just a deacon. Yes, who? Alexander, yes. So what happened is like in 325, like Pope Alexander, he could excommunicate him from the Alexandria, but then he was like, you know what, let's do something called the Ecumenical Council, and all the bishops from all over. We have how many churches at that time? Name of the church, 5. Can you tell me? Anyone? Jerusalem? Antioch? Alexandria? Alexander again? No? Rome? And one? And Antioch, we said. The recent one, there was 4, and the 5th one was Constantinople. They came recent. So all the bishops, how many bishops came in this council? Abuna is saying that every single liturgy. 315? Can you go more? 15? No, get less? 18. 318. It's like the number is like more, okay. The 318 also, the same number was, do you remember, this number is very unique because if you remember in the Genesis, in the Old Testament, Abraham, he talked with him 318 servants and he went to save Lot. So as if the 318 in Nicaea, they went to Nicaea to save the church from Arius. Okay? So it was, again, there are some numbers. In Nicaea, you will never go wrong with 300. So 325 and 318 bishops, right? And they came to the conclusion that excommunication of Arius and all the bishops signed the excommunication except 2 Libyan bishops. And then the Arianism did not die after that. Like what happened is like Arius was, after this, Arius was succeeded to go to the emperor, and then the emperor was like order the bishop to accept him in Constantinople. And before that, what happened? God did not allow that to happen. So what happened? Just one day before, he died. He died in a very, So what happened? Do you remember? Anyone know how did he die? His bowels, his intestine was out of his body. So anyway, he died, but the Arianism did not die. For 100 years after that, the Arianism was a really big issue in the church. Right? And then Athanasius has been exiled 5 times for that because he did not accept Arianism. And then after the, we'll go faster because of the time, what the second council is? The council of? Yes, you can say it. Constantinople. It's 381. So what was the problem with this? So the problem was have like, we have two, like it was a lot of issues, but we have someone called Apollinarius, Apollinarius. Haultani? This guy? Apollinarius, what did he say? He denied the full humanity of Christ. So he said that. The Logos, he was like, I'm not Arius. I know that like Christ is the Son of God, and he's the Logos. But he assumed the body without mind, without spirit. And the Holy Spirit replaced the human spirit. So what's the problem with that? So it's opposite of Arius. Is anyone awake here? Opposite of Arius.
If he's not human, he can't take the blame for what the sins we've committed.
Exactly. So if like if he's not human, he cannot save humans. As simple as that. If he's not human, he will not save human. So let's talk about Christ. Who is Christ? Who is Christ? Like, let's say about he's a human and divine or God. Is it 50-50? 100-100. When we say he's human, what does it mean he's a human? What does that mean? Yeah, he's human, you know. He has a flesh. He has human spirit and soul. He's like full human, right? So what Apollinarius says here, he's like he doesn't have a full humanity. He has his Holy Spirit replacing the spirit of the human. Okay? And we have another guy. Minda. Magdonius. Magdonius, he said, he denied... What? Macedonius. Magdonius. Magdonius, in Arabic. Yeah. McDonald's. No, McDonald's didn't say anything in this. He denied the divinity of the Holy Spirit. So, and that was at that time, at this time, of course we know that the Holy Spirit is, who is the Holy Spirit? Is who? He's God, okay? At that time, there was some, even some fathers, they couldn't say it that loudly, that the Holy Spirit is God, right? And with this guy, he denied. He said, like, the Holy Spirit is a creature. He's like angels, the spirit of angels, whatever. So it's a creature, again. And he's not God, right? And then, again, the church came together in 381 and said, and at that time, this is the golden age of the church. We have, like, St. Basil, St. Gregory, all of them, they wrote beautiful books, and now it's translated into English, and you can read it. It's very beautiful, and they're saying why the Holy Spirit is God, and they excommunicate them. I will not go in this. And of course, the creed, our creed, which is today's creed, has been written in. The first part of it is Nicaea, until we believe in the Holy Spirit. And then after that, they start to write about the Holy Spirit later on in Constantinople. Okay, I'll go faster now. Okay. And then after that, after this happened, there was a someone called Nestorius. What did he say? Nestorius, he has a problem. He said that, what, anyone has an idea about Nestorius? What? Yeah, something about St. Mary. So what? What about St. Mary? His what? No, not about the virginity, no. Yes, that's right. So he said that Saint Mary, we cannot call her Theotokos. Why? Because she cannot be the mother of God. Again, the problem of who's Christ? It's all like they have the problem is who's Christ. So it's like let's call her Christotokos, the mother of Christ. So it'd be like good. Yani بلاش طب what's the problem again خلاص يعني سانت ميري يعني ممكن حد يقول له سانت ميري مش تزعل يعني so what's the problem of calling her or denying Theotokos and calling him Christotokos what's the problem of that again why the church again put in fire and was like you know no Amir exactly. So what's exactly Nestorius? He said, okay, the problem is Christ, he was two parts. And that's important. Let's focus on that. He was human and God, the divinity and humanity. But he was like on and off. Right? So sometimes he is God. When he feed the multitude, he's God. When he raised someone from dead, he is God. But who isn't hungry while he's eating and sleeping and tired and suffering, he is a man. Because God cannot suffer, right? So he has a problem again with who is Christ? Okay? So, and after that, so someone called Eutychus. He said, "Like, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. How dare you to say that? Of course, Christ is just one nature." Okay. Do you agree? Which nature? He said, "The divine nature swallowed the human nature, so it's one nature now." Okay, we can't agree on that because that's called monophysite, which is one nature, right? One nature of Christ. So Eutychus, he said, "Like I will defeat Nestorius, but again, away from the church fathers." So he fell in another heresy called monophysite, and his bishop. Excommunicated him. Okay, and then after he excommunicated them, he was like this guy with Eutychus was like the friend of the emperor. Who's like, you know, can you help me? I was like, okay, let's do another council. And he called Discourse, the Pope of Alexandria, is like, can you please come and do this council, and let's talk about this problem. Oh, actually, did we go through Ephesus? Yes, we did through Ephesus, okay. And then in the council, the Sunday Scorus came and did the council. And what happened, this is was after the council of Ephesus, the first council of Ephesus was 431, right? And then the second council of Ephesus, Sunday Scorus, he brought Eutychus, and he asked him about his faith, and Eutychus said, you know, he confessed the Orthodox faith, and then Sandius Corus, what happened is like he confirmed that Eutychus he has an Orthodox faith, and the Second Council of Ephesus the Church of Rome did not like that because the Church of Rome was not invited. And from this time, here came the problem. We all this time, we are one church, right? There is no Orthodox and Catholic or anything. They're one church. I'll show you till the 451, okay? And then the Church of Rome was like, you know, we did not like that, and we have to do another council. So the emperor called for another council, which is the Council of Chalcedon. And that was the 451. And it happened a lot of issues in this council, and they called the Pope discourse, okay, and it was being like held by the Pope of Rome, and in the first session, San discourse was there, and then they arrested him in one house, and it's like, you know, they called him after they arrested him. They called him for a second session, but he's under arrest, so he couldn't come, obviously. And there was like a kind of a rule saying that if you can't attend three times after we call you, you will be excommunicated. So they called him the second time, and he's under arrest, so he couldn't come. And he refused to come anyway. And then he has been excommunicated, the Pope of Alexandria sent this course. And here in 451, actually, let's also agree on, in our church, we believe in how many councils? Three, which is Nicaea, Constantinople, and Ephesus, right? This is the three councils we believe in. We are part of the Oriental Orthodox Church. It's important to know these terms, okay? Who is the Oriental Orthodox Church? The Coptic? Yeah, the Syrian, and the Indian with the Syrian, Ethiopian, Eritrea, Armenia. Okay, this is part of the Oriental Church. After Chalcedon, there was like the church has to start to divide. The non-Chalcedon, which like the Oriental Church, they refused the Council of Chalcedon, and the Chalcedon, the churches. So the Oriental and the Chalcedon. That's the first division of the church. After that, there was like seven councils. Our church does not believe in seven councils. They believe in only three councils. There was a council about the icons in the church. There are some other councils until the greatest schism in 1054. In 1054, there was like, what happened is like, again, the Catholic Church started to say, okay, we believe in scripture and we believe in tradition. However, tradition did not end. We still have tradition. And they start to add to the faith. And one of the things they added, like, one of them is like, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Right, and then the other Orthodox Church or 16 other churches, they said like, and also the super the Pope of the Rome has like have like super whatever power about over all the churches. So they refused. They said like, no, we can't do that. So the other Orthodox Church, 16 other churches, has happened. What the greatest schism again in 1054. So now we have how many groups? We have the Catholic Church now, leading by the Rome, and we have the Oriental, which is the Coptic Church part of it, and we have the other Orthodox. The Orthodox and the Catholic, the other 16 Orthodox and the Catholic, they are all Chalcedonian Church, and we are non-Chalcedonian. We refuse the Council of Chalcedon.
That the Pope is infallible. Yes. Like, you know, he cannot make mistakes. Like, you know, he's like God on earth. So, which...
A lot of dogmas and purgatory and the Pope, he doesn't, he's like, he's not... Anyway, so have the greatest schism again in the 1054. After 1054, I have some copies of that if we can, maybe later on we'll... distributed. So we have some other dates. I will go faster now because of the time, but in 1054 we said the greatest schism, okay? And in 1095 the Crusades start to begin until the 1483. What happened in 1483? Martin Luther had been born. So this is the Martin Luther came, and he was a Catholic monk. So he was in the Catholic Church. He agreed about everything. However, because of the Catholic Church at that time, he started to do lots of stuff like we all know about, and this, they didn't agree about it, and he didn't like it. And politics, of course. He didn't like it, and he started to say, you know what, I don't like it. And 1517, Martin Luther, he had like 95 theses he doesn't like in the Catholic Church, and they nailed them in the at the door of the church. And then he started to have like a lot of followers very fast, because a lot of people did not like it. So that's another schism. And again, Martin Luther, he... of course, we agree about he doesn't like some of the stuff like the Catholic Church did. But however, instead of he going back to the tradition, he started to invent another church. Because at this time, also, we need to understand what happened. Like in Egypt, they start to be under the Ottoman Empire. So, and again, for Constantinople, again, the Turks start to invade them. And there was like politically, there was no like atmosphere to go to that Orthodox church anywhere. So he started to invent a church to, he said like, okay, to fix the problem in Catholic Church. But however, instead of fixing, he said the exact opposite, right? So if you have a priesthood, I will not have a priesthood. If you have sacraments, I will not have sacraments. So instead of fixing the problems of the church, he start to go even more extreme, right? So I will oppose whatever in the Catholic Church. Exactly. So that's a problem. So he, as you said, Mina, there was five solas, he said. I will do as a scripture. I will rely only on the scripture. So he said, scripture only, right? Grace only, that means I don't have any rule in my salvation. It's only the grace of God. And by the way, there's also, we have Saint Augustine also. He was the founder of this, which is wrong. The church refused it. And the glory of God only, and the faith only. So scripture, faith, grace of God, grace, glory of God, and something else. Can't remember. The scripture, Christ only. The problem is that you are right. He rely only in the scripture. Again, that's why I did not move any. I spent like 15, 20 minutes to say that how dangerous to rely only in the scripture. Because I can take a verse and say, like Arius, my father is greater than me. Okay? That's okay. Is it a verse? It is. Is it like right verse in the scripture? Yes. Do you understand it? Yes. My father is greater than me. So if I take the scripture out of the tradition, out of the church, and try to understand it, I might end up with a heresy, end up with something. It's not the faith, because I can understand the scripture in a way, and you can understand the scripture another way. Is that right? It's a book, right? It's a text. So, and there is one, like, how can we say that? Like, text cannot make an event. But event can make a text. Okay? What does that mean? Kalam kibirao. So let's say, tomorrow or whatever. Yesterday I ate an apple. It's easy, an apple. I ate an apple. I ate a dinner, okay, or lunch. So you can say the lunch is chicken, or McDonald's, or fool. Or someone else is like, no. It was like, today is the fasting, starting the fasting, so it can't be chicken. It has to be something. Someone else is like, no, Amir usually doesn't fast in the beginning. Right? So it will be like in the text itself, the text, I can't rely on the text. So I have to ask someone who's eyewitness, what happened in this event? Oh no, in this event, there was 1, 2, 3, and this is what happened. So if I rely only in this, what is called this, rely on the scripture only, sola scriptura, what's called, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because I can explain the text different than you and different than another one. And that's what happened. If you see here the schism again in after the, like in 1095, and then the Protestant happened, and then now we have more than 40,000 churches, because every church start to accept to understand the scripture in another way, in a different way. And they start to build the dogma and doctrine based on the scripture only. Who saved our church? Our church is very blessed, because if you find here, it's the church from the beginning till the end has been protected. Why? Because we have the tradition. If you have any confusion, get back to the church fathers, the eyewitness, the people who understand the scripture, who eyewitness the apostles. One more thing is like, why do you think now I have another dogma? And another church will say, the Holy Spirit told me to do so. So why did the Holy Spirit change his mind after 2,000 years? So like the Holy Spirit was silent. We're doing something wrong with all the sacraments and all everything. And the Holy Spirit now start to wake up and tell someone else, you know what? Change that, right? So again, the problem of relying only in the scripture, it's the problem of I can explain or I can understand the scripture in a different way. That answer your question? I have to end because of the time, but again, I want to emphasize again about it. Our church has been protected, has been blessed because of the relying on the tradition. And the tradition, it has the Bible in the tradition. Then St. Augustine said, I cannot understand the Bible outside the church. Okay? Because if I try to understand by myself, I will go with my father is greater than me, or some or other verses that Arius was very good priest. He was intentionally, he didn't say, I will divide the church today. No. He was very convinced that this is the faith. And that's what my understanding of the faith. And I have my job as a good Christian is to convince other people. But again, get back to the tradition, to the church fathers. What the church father understood the scripture. And again and again and again, it's a... Because we, till now, we hear a lot of heresies. Not like a lot of, let's say, false teaching. And we have, when we hear about false teaching, we have to stop. Because the only thing is, a lot of the false teaching, it sounds good. It sounds good. Like, I'll tell you an example. Someone is telling you, you know what? After this, after I hear about the church and all the division of the church, let's go without the church. I don't like the division. I don't like that. Let's go without the church. Let's have a relationship between me and God. It sounds good, right? You feel like, yeah, I don't like division too. Let's go. But if you go to the church fathers and the Bible and everything, you will find that the church is the body of Christ. So if you're telling me that, if I want to have a relationship between Christ and his head only, because Christ is the head of the church, It's like, you know, I like Tamer, I want to have a relationship with your head. Okay? Yeah, not that much. I don't like me that much, but no, but again, this notion of the church is the body of Christ. It's in the Bible, and this is how the church fathers understood it, and that's how the church fathers lived it. So if I go to one of the letters of St. Paul, sometimes when you go to the letters without understanding all the background of the letters and how the church fathers explain it, you will find something very dangerous, like, you know, the woman, do not raise your voice in the church. Okay, I will take that, I will make a dogma. Woman, no voice. Right? Or like some stuff like, don't make your hair as a braid, right? Or what's called braid, right? It's like, oh my God, okay, for sure. So let's condemn any braids in the church. No, we have to understand, like, why he's saying that, what happened, and so what the church fathers, how the church fathers understood the scripture is very important. That's why we rely on T, the capital T tradition. I was preparing much more, but anyway, the time is, I think. We reach it to the, yeah, most of it. Till like, oh, in 1990, all the Orthodox Church came together. So we have how many families in the Orthodox Church? Huh? How many families? Two. What's called the first one is? The Oriental. So they came together in 1990, and they realized that let's talk. What happened in 451? And they realized that it was, some of it was language problem, some of it misunderstanding. And the signed agreement is not yet effective, like not yet, but it's hopefully soon. And they're trying to say, like, you know what, let's reach agreement together as a family of the Orthodox Church. Of course, we all pray for the unity of the church. When we talk about the faith, the church, one faith, one baptism, one creed, like we all the churches believe in Christ. Christ is God. And of course, we don't talk about churches, we're not talking about Jehovah Witness or because they are not churches, because if you talk about them, you will find Arian talk about, like, Christ is not God, obviously. But all other church, we all believe in Christ as God. However, we still have some issues. If we really want to get back to before 451, that doesn't mean we don't love, like, we love, we accept, we everything. But when we talk about the faith, that means affecting our salvation. When we talk about the faith has been delivered once, we cannot change it, we cannot touch it. And we need to understand also how blessed we are in the Coptic Church, because if you can see the line from the beginning of the Apostolic Fathers till now, no change, no touch of the faith. Any questions? No? No comments? Thank you. No questions, no comments. Okay, so I think it's time for pizza, right? No? No pizza today? So you can ask questions about pizza. You can ask Samir about pizza. I think there is more than pizza. No. Beyond pizza, no? Anyway, I will leave that to Samir.
We were under the impression that you guys are going to, I heard, maybe you have an outing, and so we ended up not... Yeah, we ended up not. Okay, so there was so much confusion about tonight. That's why you can blame it on me, but I was under the impression that everyone was going out, so...
Can we go for wings?
Well, Abuna is sitting over there. No, that's all. So you guys have fun, and we'll pray, and then whoever wants to hang out, like, we will go downstairs, and then whoever wants to go out, like, we cannot say no. Go have fun. Huh? If it's possible, huh? We're gonna pray and then we'll talk after.
Yeah, we can change or we can go together. Mr. Martin is coming at all.
Okay. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and one God, amen, by intercession, St. Mary, St. Paul, St. Anthony, St. Mark, St. Mina. Make it worthy to pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us day our daily bread, forgive our trespasses, as we forgive to those who trespass against us. Lead us unto temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Christ is our Lord, and in the power of the glory forever. Amen.